This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Let's get into Juan Soto. Now, I'm going to give you my... We have not talked about this off the air, what we feel or anything like that. We know the numbers. You saw yesterday, Soto had a rough series against the White Sox. Over 10 should have had a base hit, but the bad base running with Nimmo and all that stuff. But still, just hitting weak grounders in the infield yesterday. But I did see the shuffle. And that's the most important thing to me. I've talked about that for a long time. I want to see Juan Soto be comfortable. I want to see him be himself. And the more shuffles, and you saw a little taste of it yesterday, a good one. This wasn't like one of those half-ass shuffles. It was a real Soto shuffle. It makes me at least feel somewhat encouraged that he's maybe starting to feel more comfortable. I keep an eye on him in the celebrations. I saw it with the Lindor walk-off sack fly on Memorial Day. Where is Juan Soto? The Pete Alonso leg kick, silly celebration. Where is Juan Soto? They're inviting him in. I think there is an effort to try to make him more comfortable, and I'm seeing him make an effort to try to get more comfortable, and I think that's encouraging. I'm not worried about Soto at all.
Okay, so why is it taking him so long to get comfortable?
I mean, it's only a couple months.
True, but it didn't happen last year, right. And that's what I keep going back to. He just still looks like he's kind of floating, like he's there, but he's not. And I think that changes. I mean, it better. I think it probably, I know the numbers are going to get better, but he just still looks like he's just kind of there.
Yeah. Well, like, he is.
Well, but I'm saying like not really feeling it.
Well, but the Soto shuffle yesterday, I mean, that says that he's feeling it a little bit, no?
I mean, come on. Was this on the five hopper to short? I didn't even see it, to be honest with you. I really didn't see it.
He had a couple of hoppers. Whatever. But I'm just saying the actual shuffle itself to me is more indicative. More indicative or more important than the actual results. The results will come. I'm not worried about that. I don't think, like, people are talking about, oh, this is the worst contract. Even you said that, I think, when I was out, like, this is going to be an awful contract. I disagree with that. I think it's going to be horrible. Yeah.
I don't mean, like, now, necessarily, but we also said
that at the time. Like, none of these contracts, the big contracts, age well. I still think it was a great contract because I wanted the Mets to get the player. I thought they had to get the player. They got him. Now he's just got to do his job. Yeah, right now it looks awful because Juan Soto, his numbers are on par with one of the worst players in the sport. He's supposed to be on par with the best players in the sport. But I think he'll get comfortable. I think there are two differences. It's a new team, new environment. He doesn't have the free agency that he's attaining to get to anymore. He's got the big contract. So I think he's with a new team, new environment, and living up to the pressure of that contract. That's it. I mean, when you try to dissect why Juan Soto was struggling, that's it. It's not that he forgot how to play baseball. It's not that he's fallen off. It's not that he doesn't have the skill set anymore. He's still a young player before even the prime of his career, really. So I'm not concerned about that. I'm more worried about him getting acclimated and then feeling like he doesn't maybe need to put all the pressure on himself to live up to the contract, which is something he never had to do before.
Listen, I can mess around and play the game here, but I've got to be true to the conversation. And he's really had some bad luck here. I don't like the way he looks. Yeah. Like, I don't like his body language, but...
He's hitting numbers, dude. Like, I don't want to hear about the exit velo.
No, I don't mean yesterday. Yeah. I mean, that was pretty ugly here. But, I mean, you're talking about it's 2 months of baseball, and I'm looking at a whole lot of 95, 94, 95, 92, 100%, 80%. 98%, 77% percentiles. And those are all pertaining to either how hard he's hitting the ball, where he's hitting the ball on the bat in terms of the sweet spot, his bat speed, which has dropped a little bit. That's at 73%. And I remember reading an article on that and even bringing it up on the air a couple days ago. He's dropped like from, I want to say 75.6 to like 73. Noticeable, but we'll see where that goes. Maybe it's early. He's still squaring the ball up a lot more than most of these players here. So I do think that he could very easily have an OPS of 870 and a batting average of 260 or 270, maybe even higher. I mean, and the advanced analytics back that up. My thing is, he's got to show, like, the onus is on him. It's not on Met fans to, you know, hey, let's cheer for you to pull you out of it. Let's boo you.
Yesterday.
I know they were. And I got no problem with that. Let's boo you because you're not doing your job. He's got to show, and I guess the only way you really show this is with results, but also with effort that's discernible. Like, we should never interpret, did he run hard? Did he showboat? Did he sandbag it? Was he in space? He's just got to play harder.
I think he's been doing that, though, since the Yankee series or the Red Sox
issue. Well, yeah, the Yankees was the ground ball to DJ to his right. Of course, we saw what happened in Fenway when he banged it off the monster. Then he stole second base the next pitch. I got that. Yeah, maybe there's been a bit of an uptick in like outward energy and emotion, and I think that's a start, but that can't be optional, and that's what I don't understand. I'm looking at, I know you don't love these numbers, but look at that. Like, you see a ton of red, you see a lot of numbers, a lot of wacky stuff, right? Like, I really can make complete sense of these numbers and tell you why he's going to be fine, and he's going to have, and he should be better off now statistically than he is. What I don't have any metric for is why the guy doesn't look like he loves being a Met. He doesn't look like he's happy.
Well, that's
still.
But that's my point. So when you start to see the shuffle like you saw yesterday, that tells me that at the very least, he's trying. Where there was some talk, and it's such bullcrap talk, like it always goes to extremes. We talked about it. We discussed it probably before anybody else discussed it. It goes to extremes where, oh, Soto wants to be a Yankee. Get out of here. He chose to be with the Mets. I don't care if his mother, sister, aunt, cousin, Uncle Charlie, I don't care who told him what. He signed with the Mets. He knew what he was doing. He signed with the Mets for a reason. So the idea that he misses the Yankees, yeah, he misses the Yankees, just like you'd miss an ex-girlfriend. And then you move on. Maybe he's not in the process of moving on. I thought you brought up the best point, PT, is that it's hard to move on easily when the ex is right in town with you.
The Yanks are in the backyard. He didn't go to the Dodgers, didn't go out to Seattle where it's just a world of isolation. When he does poorly, Yankee fans chime in and gloat.
Yeah.
The Yankees are rocking right now, so Yankee fans rightfully so are feeling themselves from a team perspective. He doesn't seem missed right now. I think at some point you probably will miss that lethal bat, probably in October as well. But I just think you're getting hit from every angle where the Met fans disappointed, the Yankee fans like, ha, sucker, look at you.
Yeah.
And it just adds up to the tsunami of uncomfortability. But the thing is, it was evident from day one where, and the Yankees didn't get off to this amazing start right out of the chute. Like, they did actually with the torpedo bats, but then they struggled a little bit.
Yeah.
And the Mets were winning. So it's not like
I don't think it was evident from day one.
I thought that because it was,
remember,
actually.
Remember watching Soto in that at-bat against Hader on day one? Remember that series against
of course.
The Astros?
Yeah, struck out.
He looked like Juan Soto. He was in the at-bat. He looked like Juan Soto. Remember, I tweeted out, we had this issue, we talked about it during whatever series it was, the heart emojis, even after a strikeout, Soto
had
that
a couple weeks ago,
he still looked like himself. Yeah. Something has happened, whether it's the pressure or whether maybe the results weren't there very early on that started to chip away at him.
Uh-huh.
Maybe the I don't want to say antics because I think that has a negative connotation, but maybe the actions of the Mets and trying to be loose and have fun. Maybe he doesn't vibe with that where he's more buttoned up and professional like the Yankees would be. Maybe that started to chip away at him a little bit.
I didn't see him as buttoned up a year ago. I thought he was having a lot of fun with those guys goofing off with the celebrations.
I'm not saying can't have fun. I'm talking about the Yankees are a clear buttoned up operation Where the Mets, it's a little more loose environment.
I think Mendy's pretty buttoned up.
You don't think so? I don't know. I mean,
he comes across as being buttoned up to me.
I don't think he lets nonsense go. When I say
buttoned up, Davey Johnson letting these guys stay out until 3 in the morning.
The Yankees are a much more buttoned up, quotes, air quotes, professional organization. Now, that's for some people. Some people, it's not. For me, I wouldn't want to deal with that. I'd like to have more fun and be in a looser environment where I could feel like I could really be myself. Maybe Soto likes more of the other environment, like the Yankees, so he's trying to get acclimated. This has been reported about. This is not even speculation. There have been reports talking about, Andy Martino wrote about it with Starling Marte, having to go to Soto and be like, hey, man, this is what we do here. Look at the camera, pose. Okay, some people like that attention. Some people want to be clowning and joking around. Some people don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's still trying to get a feel for what the Mets are all about versus what he is all about. And I think that because of the slow start and the numbers and the pressure and the contract, it's all snowballed into something that he's trying to now figure out his way out of this and get back to who he is at his core.
I want to go back to something you said about picking the Mets here and whether it was Uncle Charlie or Mom. Now, there's an expiration point on this. He's going to have to get with the program. He's a Met, and he's the one who put his name on that paper.
Yeah.
I get it. But it doesn't, and this is not a troll, I swear, but it doesn't mean that he doesn't, for now, regret leaving the Yankees.
See, I think regret is the wrong word.
Whatever word you want to use, like second guess, or didn't do it, or he did it for his mom, maybe he was so overwhelmed by...
There's no way. By
Cohen bending over backwards, and it felt good at the time, and now the season starts. There's an element of missing what was.
Okay.
That's all in play
that's
here. That better go away for his perspective. You can't be saying this for 10 years.
But that's not regret. That's just thinking, missing your old team a little bit and trying to get acclimated to the new... He knew what he's doing. He's an adult. He's not 16. He's 26.
But then why didn't he make his own decision?
He did.
No, his mom did.
It's a family decision. Did
Aaron Judge's dad say, you better sign with the Yankees? If anything, Aaron Judge's dad probably wanted to go play for the Giants because he lives out
maybe
there.
Maybe his wife did. Are you making every decision based on your own, or you're getting your family involved?
When it comes to work?
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're not consulting your wife at all?
No, I'm not saying that. But when it comes time to sign a contract, I'm making the decision that I believe is going to, obviously, best for my family, but I've got to be happy with it.
It's also a little bit different I get that, but come on, dude. You're not including your wife or kids in your thought. Yeah, honey, sorry, I don't care that you don't want to be here. I'm just going to sign here because...
We're not moving. It's not like we're going. It's not exactly the same. I get that.
But I
went to San Francisco, again, and I made the decision that I thought, now I had just gotten married.
Yeah.
And I didn't have kids yet. And I'm like, what do you think? For sure. But I'm like, this feels like the right career move. Let's go.
But they move, obviously, a lot more often or whatever. It's a bigger deal. Juan Soto's got to decide where him and his family are going to be for the next 15 years. That is it would be to me foolish if you did not involve anybody else. I don't know how you would make that decision without involving anybody else. Ultimately, you're the one who's going to say, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to do this. I don't think it was Juan saying, Mommy, this is like what the reports make it feel like, and then Yankee fans make it feel like, Mommy, I want to play for the Yankees. No, son, you're playing for the Mets. I think the Mets are better, but Mommy, please, I love the Yankees. No, we're going to get the hell out of here. That's not what's going on here. Juan Soto's an adult. He has an adult agent, maybe the best agent that has ever been in the sports, even though I can't stand him.
Mm-hmm.
They made the decision. So let's not make it like, it's very easy to sit here and take one report and say, well, Juan Soto's mom wanted the Mets. Yeah, okay. And that's why he made this decision for $765 million for 15 years, because his mom said so. It had nothing to do with anything else. It was because his mom wanted the Mets.
But think about the concessions that were made by the Mets and not made by the Yankees.
Right.
Those directly impacted Mommy.
Well, and him.
So maybe there was more. And him. No question. It makes his life easier. There's no question about that. But
if all things were equal and you had the same opportunity, why wouldn't you choose the better offer?
No, I'm not saying that I wouldn't. Not saying that I wouldn't, but what I am saying is you better at least pretend that you're happy, and you better start playing better. So until that goes away, whether it's right or wrong or a little heightened, and I'm laughing as you're doing the Mommy thing. Yeah. I don't think it. I know it wasn't like that.
No, but I do think that.
But I think there's an element of he leaned on his mom, and some moms not always right.
Right. Right, but
especially since mom's not taking in the batter's box.
But you make it like mom made the decision.
No.
Okay, but then she gave her input. I know if my father were alive, I'd be going to him for every big decision.
No, me too.
It doesn't mean that I would listen to everything that he said.
I agree with that.
But I'd be going to everything that he said. I'd be taking it all in and making the best decision for me.
Me too.
I believe that's what happened. Now, maybe he was torn and his family, his mom said, well, I think you have to look what the Mets are doing here. And then maybe ultimately used that and went to the Mets. I don't think it's like he was held against his will.
But nobody's saying, well, I mean, if people, I'm not saying that. If other people say that.
But that's what it sounds like. Oh, he didn't want, no. The idea is he didn't want to be a Met. He's only a Met because his mom wanted him to be.
How many times
and I want to say the curse word because it really pisses me off.
I could see why that would bother you. Because, you know, until he starts playing better, like, that's gonna live. That's gonna get life. That's gonna get oxygen. Because there's generally a correlation between how you feel and how you do.
Right.
You know, whether we're sick and we come in and we do a show, I mean, sometimes you have to do it. You have an argument with your wife, you got to come in and you got to do the show. You tell me it's not easy to do a show? Well, now, you and I happen to snap into it no matter what, but there are days where either we didn't sleep or we're sick or the kids are sick or there was an argument or, God forbid, somebody's sick and passed away. I mean, a lot of things that go on. Life goes on. It's time to work.
Right.
And I think
he's got to do it.
He's got to do it. Now, I can't account for the Yankee fans who are trolling and whatever. That's not me. I don't think it's quite the way, and I know you sensationalized it for a reason, but I do believe, because Juan Soto, and I'd have to find the exact quote, I will in a second, Juan Soto said, the Yankees were the first choice.
Right.
Quote, we just couldn't get it figured out.
Right.
And when you say that, that's not us projecting our beliefs on what mommy said to do or what you thought. You told us the Yankees were number one.
Right, but they didn't make
the
right offer.
That was a quote.
But they didn't make the best offer.
I understand that.
He's also said that he has no regret. So why aren't we using that quote?
Well, we could. And I'm okay with using everything here. But again, the incorporation of that quote will have more validity when he starts looking happier and playing better.
Well, that's the point. And that's why I don't think it should be about... I do not believe his struggles are because he wanted to be with the Yankees. That's, to me, it's ridiculous. Yeah, the Yankees were his first choice. He wanted the best offer. That's what he wanted all along. Whatever the best offer is in his mind, that's what he took. That happened to be the Mets. Now, he's got to get over the fact that he liked it with the Yankees, and he was one way there and allowed to be one way there because the players there, in particular Aaron Judge, went to him and said, hey, you be you. Don't worry about it. We got you. Go out there and be yourself. I don't think he's got that with the Mets so far. Matter of fact, the difference is he also now has a $765 million contract to live up to that it'd be nice if somebody did go to him and say, hey, don't worry about it. We got you. And instead, I think it's just like, hey, big boy, you're making the big money. You're supposed to be the big man in town. Go out there and go do it.
Well, that's a bigger issue then. Now you're talking to an absence of leadership on a team that's supposed to be in a position to win a World Series. That's a different discussion.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that that's... It has not been reported that that happened. It was reported that it happened with the Yankees.
I know. And let me ask you this. Does it have to happen?
Maybe not.
Like, who did it for Lindor after the thumbs down? I really don't remember.
But it took him years to get...
I know.
But you think Lindor was happy being a Met?
No, he looked absolutely miserable.
Correct. So now, do you think Lindor's happy being a Met?
Yes.
So...
I do.
And I think it's going to even come quicker for Juan Soto because he's not foolish enough to do the stupid dumb found thing.
No,
and
I know. He's going to get
it. He's better than Lindor. Juan Soto is a beast. He's an animal that is yet to be unleashed. And when he does, all this fluff talk will be forgotten. The problem is, to your point, it's all about the production. We're trying to figure out why the production isn't there. It's not because he can't play baseball.
Yeah.
Is it because of he doesn't feel comfortable? Is it because of he's thinking about where he was a year ago so far? Is it because he's trying to live up to the pressure of the 760? There's a lot of...
No Judge behind him. Even though he's had big seasons without Judge. I mean, you got to incorporate everything.
Yeah.
What percentage of everything you just said applies? I have no idea.
Me neither.
But the best thing for the Mets and the best thing for Juan is to go 3-for-4, go on a little run, get player of the week, keep it moving, keep winning games. Because, oh, yeah, by the way, outside of yesterday, Mets are still winning without Soto doing anything.
Yeah.
And now that the pitching is starting to show signs of, you know, and I know they got guys coming back, but, you know, it's suddenly not quite what it was 3, 4, 5 weeks ago. They're going to have to start winning some games with the sticks. And with Juan's hitting, those odds go up.
No, he's...
I mean, you got to go. Let's go, Juan.
To me, it's been like this for a while. Like, all right, enough is enough. And really, after the Yankee series is the one where now, because he struggled in that series, and I think that was the case, now it's all about Juan Soto to me. Nothing else matters. Yeah, okay, well, the Mets won 2 out of 3 from the White. That's great. Like, they should win series. That's great. If Juan Soto was not Juan Soto, fold up shop. Like, it doesn't really matter what you do this season. Alonso isn't good enough. Vientos isn't good enough. Nemo isn't good enough. Lindor's not good enough. They're not good enough to go out there and win a World Series without Juan Soto being Juan Soto.
I agree.
The pitching is not, they need Juan. It's not a knock on those guys. He's the stud. He's the superstar on the team. He needs to produce like that, and then you'll start to see another level of play from the Mets. So calls BT on Soto and the Knicks. Let's start with Will in the Bronx. What's up, Will?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say real quick that I think Soto thing is, you know, I think everything's going to be fine with him. You know, he's 50 games into the season. But you got to look at the bright side. You guys are 12 games, I believe, over 500. And with runners in scoring position, you guys are batting, I believe, like somewhere 230-ish, somewhere around there. You know, that can all change as soon as Juan Soto becomes, you know, the caliber superstar that he is. You know, and I also feel like it's better to struggle now, you know, early in the season. So when, you know, the ball is rolling later in September, he's hot. Going into the postseason, you know, you guys are not going to be rolling with the oh my
when you,
god
when
magic
you say
anymore.
When you say will you guys, what are you referring to?
I mean the Mets.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, you know? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The Mets in general. You know, that's what I mean. And you know, Vientos and you know Pete Alonso, you know, they're struggling right now a little bit, but you know it's early. You know, this is kind of how the Mets play baseball. You know. For the past couple of seasons, they struggle early, and then later on they get it rolling. But this time they have Juan Soto. You understand? And not to mention the pitching from the Mets, it's lights out the majority of the time. So, like I said, once that offense gets rolling, and I'm a Yankee fan too.
Yeah, well, we picked up on that. We picked up on that.
Once that offense gets rolling, once that offense gets rolling, man, all this. You know, chatter that's been going on for like, I want to say the last 3 months. But I've been listening to you guys since like September. Not going to lie, I'm like kind of a new listener, but
nice. Well, we appreciate
know, I
that.
You guys, nice, I listen to every day, man.
Thank you very much. Well, we appreciate that very much. I will say, though, I don't think it's been negative on the Mets. Like, no, we did not discuss the Mets and talk about their team or anything. Oh, we're talking about Juan Soto. And for me, the big picture stuff, like, yeah, Will, you're right. The Mets are 12 games over 500. They keep winning series. But without Juan Soto eventually being Juan Soto, they cannot win the World Series. And that's what the goal is this year, to win the World Series. That's all that we're saying. Got to get Juan Soto going. Now, I believe that he will. I think he will get going. It's just a matter of when. I know Juan Soto's going to get going. Just a matter of when.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's a lot of there are a lot of ways to craft the Soto stuff, and we laid it out before, so people who listen to our show know what we're thinking and what we feel right now. But like the narrative around Juan, which is negative right now, is not without justification. Like, that's the one thing that I'm good with. You know, it's not like he got off to a great start and had a two-week spurt, and we're coming up bad, and we're coming on the air saying, I don't know, not worth the money. Look, he's won for right. his last 18. Or, you know, Judge's OPS is 1.20, only at 1,200, and Soto's OPS is 970, and it's like, hey, ain't as good as Judge. There's nothing irresponsible about what's being said on this show. Like, he's not playing well. We're trying to determine why. There's baseball analytics that back up that changing very soon. But then there's also the optics of body language, which, by the way, we dissect with a lot of people. We do that with Carl Anthony Towns. Right. I don't love his body language half the time. We've talked about that. So I think the conversation has been done the right way. I don't think we've been unfair to anything here.
Well, also, it's about the reports that have been out there about whether he missed the Yankees or the stuff that happened during the Yankee series. There's two separate conversations here. Obviously, they tied together. One is about the Mets and their team, and the Mets have been playing very well to start the year, even without everything going perfect for them. Their bullpen has been good. Their starting pitching has been terrific. Even with all the injuries, they're going to get healthier. Their lineup has not been very good. But they're still, as a team, playing good baseball and are right in there to win the division. Like, everything's all right there in front of them. The other conversation, and this is the bigger conversation because it leads to the Mets conversation.
Big picture Mets, yeah.
It's about Juan Soto. And we said this, and I got a lot of flack from a lot of people after criticizing Juan Soto from whatever it was, around 20-ish games. Mm-hmm. Because I could just see that he was not himself, and obviously the numbers were nowhere near. And by the way, the numbers then were way better than what they are now.
Yes, they were.
But they were nowhere near the real Juan Soto. And now, you fast forward 30 games later, it's gotten worse for Juan Soto, and people are starting to pile on. See, but there is a difference between acknowledging what's happening and thinking that it's going to be a bad signing, or thinking that he's going to be a bad performer, or thinking that he doesn't want to be here. I'm weeding through all of that and just seeing a player that's, I think, wearing the pressure and wearing the early season struggles and trying to get acclimated to a new environment, one that he's going to be in for a very long time. But eventually, he is going to come out of it. I love the fact that he had the Soto shuffle yesterday. That sounds silly, but I think that that's a big thing, him being himself. Whenever that is, whether it's next week, 2 weeks, 2 months, whenever it is that he feels comfortable enough, Juan Soto then will take off, and only then will the Mets truly take off.
Yeah, I mean, their ability to win obviously increases, you know, exponentially with Juan Soto doing damage. I also do think, though, it's fair, and I brought this up. Now, the contract, the length of it, he's just going to have to figure it out. And if he doesn't, I mean, I can't even imagine him not figuring it out enough where people are like, you got to trade him in a year. Like, that's right. Stupidville. That's not going to happen. But I was a cautionary voice before he signed with the Yankees. Like, even when I thought he could still go to the Yankees, stay with them. Like, guys, he's not a 40 home run guy every year. He's not a 130 RBI guy every year. Never been that. He had 109 last year, tied his career high. He's never had the 330 during the shortened season COVID, but he's not like some 315, 320, 330 hitter with this incredible mixture of power and high average. He's never been that guy. So, you know, and I don't think he will be that guy. Not that he can't have an outlier where he hits 315 and does hit 43 home runs. He very well might. But I mean, like, we can expect him to bounce back. I think anybody with a brain cell does. To what extent, like, who he is as a player, to me, is still very intriguing and still very debatable. Not from a clutch perspective, not from an on-base perspective, from the other baseball stuff, which you and I have hit. Well, whether it's Tucker, whether it's whatever. We talked about that stuff.
But I just want him to be what he is.
No, I mean, get it. It's not that yet.
And by the way, for all those who were talking about bad contracts, there was a point not too long ago where Francisco Lindor's contract looked awful. And now all of a sudden nobody brings that up anymore because the way Lindor played last year in the postseason and again this year. Like, the idea of the bad contract, in principle, in theory, a 15-year contract is never a good thing. By the way, did you see David Ortiz speaking on that?
I did. I thought it was very interesting. I agree with him.
See, I don't. I think Big Papi needs to shut his big trap when he's talking about Juan Soto. He said something like, the expectations for Soto are not where they should be or something like that. Like, it's crazy. Dude. What are you talking about? Look at Juan Soto's production so far.
I heard it this morning. Yeah, I did.
The one quote that he had. Now, obviously, I would respect his opinion on certain things, but I don't think, like, in other words, he was making it like, oh, how could you criticize Juan Soto? The expectations are through the roof for him. It's not fair to be putting on. Oh, yeah, is Juan Soto a 220 hitter? Is Juan Soto a 760 on base guy? Like, come on, man. He's supposed to be better than this. Soto knows it. Everybody in the world knows it. It's okay to acknowledge it. Say that he will be fine, which he did. That's where I'm in agreement with him. He will be fine, but you can't, like, it's, you can't even, oh, yeah, it's not even worth having a conversation. Everybody knows at this point Juan Soto was not living up to Juan Soto's expectations.
All right, so some of these are paywalls. I got to see if this works here. All right, I was able to get some of it. All right. Now, he said this in the Dominican Republic here, so they translated this. El Mañanero, I believe, is the morning show. People think Juan Soto was paid to do what Barry Bonds did. Yeah. This is the quote. No, people. Soto was paid to do what he always does, hit 30 home runs, push 90 or 100 runs across, hit 280, 290, have a great on-base percentage. The problems at Juan Soto is when he entered free agency at the perfect time with a perfect agent. You know what I mean? So since then, everybody wants to be involved in the negotiations for a player of his caliber. And because of the Mets owner who said the only way he doesn't play for me is if he goes somewhere else for less money, he won that argument alone. And there's more here. So basically, he's just talking about the money. But the part about the with the statistical reference, that is something that I've always said. But the one thing that so I agree with him there.
Right.
One thing I don't want to hear from Ortiz is, well, he's a human being. He's got a lot going on. We all got a lot going on, dude.
Well,
that means less to me.
But who thought that he was going to be Barry Bonds?
Well, I think that's hyperbolic, but I think that
But he's saying that, people think, what is the exact quote again in the beginning? People think that they were getting Juan Soto to be Barry Bonds?
Hold on.
Who?
All right, people think Juan Soto was paid to do what Barry Bonds did.
Who? I want to know who.
You want names?
No, not once did anybody say ever that the Mets got the next Barry Bonds. If anything, we all talk about Aaron Judge being the best player that we've ever seen better than Barry Bonds. Not once did anybody ever reference, I've never heard it in my entire life, ever, did anybody reference Juan Soto and Barry Bonds. And then he furthers it by saying, Juan Soto was paid to do what? What are the numbers you got there? 30 homers, 90 RBI.
Push across 90 or 100, hit 280, 290.
Is he on pace for anywhere near that?
No. No, that's the criticism.
Yeah, so? I mean, come on, what is he talking about?
He goes, we're not talking about the best player in the bigs, nor the most complete. He's a great player who, at the end of the season, will have the numbers that he consistently has. The problem is that in people's minds, they're expecting him to be Barry Bonds, and he's never been that. So, listen, I think he's just pulling a massive name. Yeah. He could have said Mark. He could have said any other name. I don't know why I said Bonds, but he could have said himself, or Manny. I just think that we all know we can go in circles. Got to wake up. Got to start hitting. Luckily for the Mets, they're winning in spite of his really poor start. I would like to see more hustle. Maybe we've seen that last week or so. I'd like to see more engagement. We've seen that maybe a little bit more, and hopefully that keeps up. But until he starts mashing, it ain't going away. He might not be an all-star this year.
Yeah.
I got news for everybody.
Well, shouldn't be, based on
his he shouldn't be. Now, does he get voted in? Could you imagine if Juan Soto is not an all-star? Forget about an MVP. Not an all-star.
How is he going to be an
all-star? Well, because of the fan voting might get hijacked, and just based on popularity.
But he does not deserve to be an all-star.
No, there's no chance.
But he still will be fine. I have no doubt in my mind, like, this is, I was going to say fun to talk about, but it's not fun to talk about from a Met fan perspective, but this is a thing now, and it's a huge thing now, and it's like, oh my God, he's horrible, and Yankee fans are loving it, and Met fans are starting to boo him now, and this is all going to be forgotten sooner than later once he takes off. Now, unfortunately, with Lindor, with some guys, it takes a year or a couple of years. I mean, we're saying with Rodon to a lesser extent, but it's taken him 3 years to live up to what he thought he was supposed to be here. We saw a slow start with Piazza, and we're now seeing with Juan Soto. I thought he was above that. We've been proven incorrect on that, obviously. But at some point, whether it's in a month, in a week, in a year, he's going to be just fine and all this will be forgotten.
Any issue with the booze?
No, not at all.
Yeah, I
would have done him sooner.
Yeah, I hear you. I didn't think you'd have an issue with that. I just never know, although with you, I kind of know, which I appreciate. Oh, let's cheer him. Let's lift him up.
Yeah,
dude, you're hitting like ass. You're going to get booed.
Now, Lindor did respond positively to the cheers a year ago, and I think that was a turning point. Soto's a different animal. It's part of why I said what I did whenever it was, a month ago or 20 games in. I would have booed him to kind of wake him up because I think he's the type of guy that would
jar him.
He would respect it and respond better to that as opposed to the fake cheers like, hey,
yeah.
Nice ground out there, Juan. We'll get him next time, buddy. No, like he's mad at himself for grounding out. that to me is how I would be like, don't cheer me when I didn't deserve it. I feel like he's more of that same cloth.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. Real fast, by the way, yeah. the storylines, like and the Knicks have distorted this because the Knicks have been the story, which is great. But this is not wildly out of whack with what we talked about at the start. Juan Soto was discussed every single day on this show, on this station, on social media, and for real reasons. Great player, great hitter. Yanks had him. Mets want him.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Let's go. So that's not, you can't have that energy. When I say you, I mean everybody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That energy, and now, you know, he's hitting 225, not a big deal. It's a massive story.
Right.
To the point where if the Knicks were gone, or when the Knicks are sent home, until Juan Soto wakes up, that will be the story every single day.
No, I really do. He was saying that it should be 2-2 or it could be 3-1 Knicks. Yeah, coulda, shoulda, woulda, but I really do feel like the series, the way that it's played, is even, and 2-2, the way that they played, meaning that the Pacers are not that much better than the Knicks. Now the results are 3-1, and the Knicks have their work cut out for them, but I do believe that things could get started the right way tonight at the World's Most Famous, and there's a path here where the Knicks can come back here Monday night with a chance to go to the NBA Finals with a win in Game 7.
It's really a miracle that we're at this point, that it's going to take a miracle for them to get to the Finals and beat the Thunder here. So, you know, before we worry about the Thunders, let's get tonight, stretch this thing out a little bit more. But, yeah, the miracle that's occurred with these Knicks is that they just, you know, I'll use the word miracle loosely here, but they just haven't played well for like 6 weeks, man.
Yeah.
Like, we've said this a lot. Like, the Pistons series, that was, I don't want to say unexpectedly difficult, because I knew the Pistons were physical, but God, like we sweat a little bit too much during that series. And then the Celtics series with these crazy comebacks and all the things that we've been through, it's just, in a lot of ways, the Knicks have not, I feel like they shouldn't even be here.
Right. It's like Brunson has lifted this little average team up to get them to this level.
Yeah, that's what they were saying on ESPN. Yeah,
oh,
the little average team
that
had the third shortest odds. And some of these things that are said on ESPN are really some of the dumbest things I've ever seen or heard. Like, do they watch the games? Do they follow the stories?
What do you think?
Well,
you think Mike Greenberg's watching the Knicks every night?
Well, I mean, I like Green. I thought what he said was ridiculous, but he's a decent dude.
I don't know.
But I think ESPN's a train wreck right now is what I think.
I'd be willing to bet that he does not watch every single game.
Well, you're probably right.
What time's he got to get up?
Yeah, you're probably right. I think Boomer and Gio stay up. That's why we're the fan.
Yeah, I'm a little different story. I'm just saying, I don't know him.
He's a decent guy.
Like to give him the best.
He really
like
is.
You're the one who ripped him. I was
I ripped his opinion. I didn't rip him as a person. I think Mike's cool. I've known Mike a little bit. He's fine. He's whatever. But I just
big
think
Jeff fan.
He's a huge Jeff fan. Yeah. He really is.
He's like he's a bigger Jeff fan than you.
Yeah. Okay. Dude, like you tell me.
I'm trying to poke
No. Again, I like Greedy. Don't get me in trouble here. But you tell me who's more amongst the people.
Yeah.
Who has a feel as. A better representation of the Jets.
I think you. I think
me or Greeny.
Yeah, I think you. He thinks him. Like you know. What
yeah,
I'm
no,
saying?
He does. He does.
Feels
he
like
does.
He's
yeah,
Mr.
He could
Jet.
Take that. He keep taking it.
And now maybe he's Mr. Nick as well.
Yeah, I know. By the way, really, Mr. Jet is that a label anybody wants?
No.
And really, it's Beningo. If we're going to be honest about this thing.
Good point. No, I'm just messing around. But
yeah, me too.
Look, the Knicks should be better than what they've done so far in the postseason, and I still think that there's another level to their game. Problem is now to win this series, you have to do it 3 games in a row. Tough test, tall order for the Knicks, but I still believe it is possible. All right, let's get back to the Knicks and Juan Soto. Mike is calling from Clifton talking about the Knicks. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. So great show. And listen, so in terms of the Knicks, I'm surprised they got this far, to be honest with you. Well, coming into the season, I thought the team was 70% built. They weren't done building yet, and now I think it's rearing its ugly head here. So, I mean, I think really in the offseason, we have to get back to a super bench, which we did have under Leon Rose a couple of years ago. The other thing is I was at the game in game 2 for Knicks Pacers.
Mm-hmm.
I have to tell you, the Pacers look cool as a cucumber. They don't look stressed out at all. They just look smooth. They're hitting threes. And I got to tell you, I was in the Garden at the 90s. I didn't think the crowd was loud, honestly. I thought it would be louder. Maybe it's because people are priced out of it.
Yeah, it's a different crowd, Mike. It's a different crowd.
Yeah. Yeah, I was shocked because I remember going in the 90s. It was like mayhem. And now it was more kind of, it was just like, I don't know. I was disappointed that I thought it would be louder and louder and louder, and it really wasn't.
It's also the layout, and thank you for the call, Mike. I was not in the Garden during the height of the 90s. I've gone to some playoff games, and more Rangers actually in the 90s than anything else. I forget, I've seen the Knicks and Heat in the postseason, Knicks and Raptors, but not at its peak.
I
went to last year. You were there, so you experienced that. But it is a different... It's a different environment, first of all, the way the Garden was structured, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the setting
different
is different.
Different acoustics, too.
Like, that's what I'm trying to say, right? The way the new Garden is built, a lot different. But yes, I don't know if it's the clientele, but the pricing is, like, absurd.
I know.
It's absurd now. But you do still get a lot of season ticket holders that bought the tickets and could get in at a normal price. Outside of that, it's ridiculous. I told you about tonight, the $1,000 ticket
know.
That I'm in.
That's insane. What did you want to do with that, by the way?
I'm going to go. I'm gonna go for free.
For
my buddy.
Free.
Yeah, no, my buddy Will Saratoga Will treated me. I'm taking him up on that, and I'll get him back in some other ways. But, hey, he offered a kind gesture. I'd be a fool not to take him up on that.
Well, then why were you asking me what you should do?
Well, because I did feel like, oh, man, he's like one of my best friends. I can't take money
from
him.
That's the person that you take it from, your best friend. Because you know you're going to get him back. It's the person you don't know that you don't. You know, that's a little bit of an overextension by that person. If you don't really know them, that's your best friend.
I don't know. I feel like the closer you are to somebody, the more difficult it is to accept that type of gift.
I don't feel that way.
Like, we're on equal footing. We're best friends, whatever. Like, in our group, it's, you know.
I don't feel that way.
Yeah,
you know what? Like, I think about this. Well, to me, would you rather lend whatever amount of money is significant to you? It's all relative. So just come up with whatever number you want in your head. To your best friend or a friend?
Yeah, no, right, of course, your best friend. Now, neither.
Well, actually...
I have no lend policy.
Yeah. I was going to go the other way with that, because if you lend your best friend money, it could become
a little
uncomfortable.
Problem. I know, but you trust them more.
Well, that's where it gets a little tricky, but I know that if one of my best friends is giving me like a seat ticket for $1,000 or, you know, a round at Augusta, I'm just throwing out wild stuff, whatever... You know, I know that there's the ability to reciprocate over time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a built-in cushion.
Yeah, no,
you're good.
Fair enough. Either way, I'm going. Like I said, last round was $500. The ticket prices, though, at the Garden, they're net. This is how you know that they're priced so highly, that they're available. In the 90s, they weren't available.
Yeah.
I could not go on Ticketmaster or even the day of the game. Maybe you wait on a long line and hope the tickets open up, the day of the game, but you're taking a big risk. Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. Back then, if you go to the Garden window, I did this in 2014 for the Rangers Stanley Cup because I lived in the city. So when the tickets went on sale, I took the subway down. I walked over to the Garden, waited on a huge line once they went on sale at the window, and happened to be fortunate enough to buy two tickets for the upper seats to, in 2014 Stanley Cup final. Now, and but even then, it was only a couple hundred bucks, whatever it was. Not that bad. Now, you don't have to go wait online. They're all available. You can buy tickets.
Yep.
It's just a matter of how much you're going to be willing to spend, which is absurd. So that is a big part of it. I think acoustics a big part of it. I also think they priced a lot of fans out to where you don't have that same energy. Although I will say, BT, it's still rocking. It's still loud.
Yeah, for sure. And they do a great job. Same with the St. John's. The music, the flair, like just the in-game presentation. You sat, what, section 217 last time?
Yeah, I think so. Was it 213 or 217?
Right around there, second level. Okay.
Behind the basket, second level, row three.
I got you. So right now I'm seeing a ton of tickets here. These ones in around the area that you sat, $649 each.
I'm in 217, row three.
$649 each.
Okay, yeah, and now remember that they've come down because it's...
Yep.
When we got these tickets, it was before the series.
Yeah.
Now down 3-1, obviously it's going to lose some value.
See, this you have to explain this to me. I'm not a secondary ticket guy.
Yeah.
So now I'm looking at seats, you know, in the highest level, not even like beyond the 400s here, and I'm seeing seats at $753 each, but... And kind of behind the basket, not the best view, but yet in the 200s, it's $498.
Because it depends on what people got them for and what they're willing to sell them at. In other words, if that person let's say that person paid $200 for that, they're willing to sell it for $400. The person in the uppers might have paid more.
Okay, so they got to stretch it out so they minimize what they lose or just try to expand the profit. So it's that simple.
I would think. I don't know the exact situation, but just using some common sense and experience.
The cheapest seat that I'm seeing here
is
$495. I'm seeing a couple of $495s, a couple of $530s. Yeah, it starts just about $500 to get in. Yep.
Why don't you take cold tonight?
Stop, dude. My wife already texted me today.
She again?
Did. Yeah, she heard us talking about it. She's like, you should really go tonight.
She's been on it.
I know.
But now it's at least feasible. I don't know what Rice Bowl is going to hook you up with. But,
my boy Rice.
Yeah.
It's feasible, but I got something more important than that tonight. Coach my daughter's softball team.
There you go.
There's nothing more important, man.
What time is that?
7.
Okay.
No, I'll be home right in time.
Yeah.
No, dude, we're undefeated. We got to keep this thing going.
Oh, that's right. You were
All right.
what do you mean? All right. No, you were saying.
Because I know what you're going to say.
Whatever coach has gone undefeated before because you're carrying over the baseball to the softball.
Well, no, I mean, listen, I was just messing around with my buddy in town who I coach with.
And I happened to be eavesdropping on that.
Well, you were right next to me, so it's like I was trying to conceal it from you. No, no, I brought up the conversation over many drinks, including a few seltzers, and people know what that means. Yeah. So we went. Let me see how I. We went. Undefeated. And by the way, we're not going to go undefeated again. We went undefeated in rec basketball.
Yeah.
All right. Won the championship. Right. Currently, we're undefeated in baseball.
Right.
And currently, we're undefeated in softball.
Yes, that's what you told
me. Yeah, so I mean.
And who's the head coach of all three of those teams?
I'm involved, but I'm not the head coach in softball.
Oh, okay.
No, no.
All right. Well, you're still taking credit for those wins.
No, that's a group. Look, there's a lot of season to go. We're not running the table in either one. There's a couple of good teams we got to play.
Luigi's calling from White Plains. What's up, Luigi?
Good morning, boys. Love your show. Thanks for taking my call.
We appreciate it. What's up?
I'm calling the Buster Tops. Juan Soto. Could it just be the Mets purchased an overpriced player and it's going to be an average player? I mean, that's basically what it seems like to me. Hopefully for you guys, I'm wrong. I'm also going to tell you I'm a bitter Yankee fan, so I'm still mad that he didn't sign with the Yankees.
I respect the honesty, Luigi. Mm-hmm.
Transparency is important. Yes. That still bothers you. It really. I don't even think about it at all.
It does.
Well, I got you.
I love him as a player, and I think he's a clutch player.
That's undeniable, no doubt.
Luigi, so we agree. You love him as a player. You think he's a clutch player. So do I. The difference is that you're enjoying the slow start. And I'm not, but I know it's about to change, and you know it's about to change.
I shouldn't say about, it's going to change.
When, but yeah.
I've got to make it a little amendment here. So, you know, I was messing around, obviously, before the Yankee-Mets series.
Yeah.
Serious, but having fun, trying to poke the bear a little bit. What is, what's it like knowing that you got the second-best right fielder in New York and on that field?
Mm.
I think you now have the third best right fielder because when Bellinger plays right, you know, his numbers are coming up as well. Cody's been on a low heater here, so it ain't even Juan number two. Cody's number two beyond Judge.
Can't argue that.
He's Ryan Church all of a sudden, Juan Soto.
Enjoy it while you can.
Yeah.
This is
he's F-Mart.
This is the PSA from SAL to the Yankee fans out there, to all the Juan Soto haters, because you're hurt that he left you. Enjoy it now. He's giving you good fodder for the first couple of months of this season. That soon will change. And the punchback is going to be unbearable.
I think I've been pretty tame. I think I really
you
have
starting,
been.
You,
well, I mean, I have a little fun now. Yeah.
Well, because now it's become a real...
Well, now you can't ignore it, you know. But I think that I've been pretty balanced with this. Like, I've given you the numbers. Hey, man, I'm just telling you what I'm seeing. And numbers are still good.
And you also believe he's going to come out of it.
Yeah. Oh, of course I do.
But it is still
going to... But I don't think he's going to have a good season. Like, you told me yesterday, you think he's going to hit 265.
Yeah.
Remember we did this?
Yes.
I jotted him down somewhere. Oh, yeah, here they are. Sal had him at 265. Got the rest of the numbers there. The OPS below 9.
Yeah.
880.
Hard to see otherwise than that now.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But even that would still consist of a Soto heater here.
He's going to have a heater at some point. There's no question.
And I'm going to enjoy every second.
You better.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.